Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Everybody stand, come on. Give the Lord a big praise right now, come on. Yes, Lord. So much to praise Him for. So much to thank Him for. We're going to read the Word of God. I hope that every one of you are standing. You'll read the responding verses. We're going to go to Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. We're still talking about fasting forward. You say, well, I'm not fasting. You want to when we're done. Because I believe that God, there's something that releases when we sacrifice what we feel is the most important thing to us to really get in touch with God. This story here is really pretty magnificent. Verse 1 says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, and according to the word of the Lord, now Nineveh was exceeding great city, a 3-day journey in extent. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, and do not let them eat or drink water. Who can tell? And who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from this fierce anger so that we may not perish? Verse 10 together. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and he relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Let's pray. Lord, somehow this contradicts even our thought process when we think about God. Why would God change his mind? It seems like that would seem like it would be inconsistent, but Lord, there's something about we have lost when we realize the passion of God, the love of God for his people. That even in the midst of declaration of disaster, God has a heart for his people. And Lord, I pray today we will learn some things, not only just about fasting, but about the heart of God toward those who would just put aside those things that are most important to them and really get a hold of God. Lord, I pray that as I preach today, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would permeate the consciences, the hearts, the spirits of people here, that would change them in a way that they really need to have change, that they come to this place of the reality of knowing that to trust and believe the Word of God, to act upon it, and to be relieved of the things that would be contradictory from us. Oh God, help us today. We ask the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If there's one error that I believe to make it easy, to be easy to make, it would be trying to convince ourselves of the validity of God's word by fasting. In other words, say, well, we'll fast and that'll make God's word validated. Not necessarily. But what about fasting can only accomplish in us a secure resolve that what we have chosen to believe about the word of God is true and can be trusted. And then, thus being the case, when we choose to remove the most important thing as it relates to our flesh in our focus and focus on our spirit, we will embrace the supernatural presence of the Lord on a whole new level. I know some of you get confused when you talk about fasting. Well, what difference does that make? You skip a few meals and this type of thing, and then you read your Bible. What's that going to do? Well, I'll tell you, it's going to do a lot. Amen. Because it's one of the hardest things for us to do, because we're so routine, or we're just maybe addicted to coffee. I did real good. I didn't mention it till this week, but I had to bring it out. For all you addicts out there, I won't mention the brand name, but you know which one I'm referring to. Because some of you know, if you don't have it every day, you feel like your life's not complete. But here's some things I want to say to you. Just three things we'll talk about, and then we're going to get into this story here, which is a very profound one. What would cause God to take note of your fasting if you had one? The fact that you did give up that particular desired drink that you must have every day, or was it a particular desired food that you gave? What would it take? And this story of Jonah, and some of you know it, maybe some of you don't, but the whole story about Jonah is the fact that there was a situation that somehow seemed like it was doomed according to what the message that was delivered. But I believe that God is going to get a hold of us. What is the fasting aspect? Are you going to try to manipulate God? Or is there something in you that needs to change in order for God to have his way in your life? How about number two? Do the sacrifices made during your fast equal the degree of belief you have in Jesus? That's the thing I'm after. I know it's hard. But there's something when we believe in Jesus, there's no sacrifice too great to really get to know him better. And we sing songs about, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I want all these different types of things. And sometimes it's a practical thing. We have to prove to ourselves, not to God, that really is the cry of my heart. But then the third thing I would talk about that we'll really entertain is, should fasting move your faith or increase your belief in Jesus? And you know what I'm going to say? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's something about it. You know, it's not the fact of miracles and such as nature, but do we really believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do we believe in the cross? Do we believe in the resurrection? Do we believe in all those different things? Somehow that'll come to pass as we look into fasting. Well, when we fast, it should cause us to believe in the word of the Lord. Back to Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, it says this. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed to fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. One thing you need to know about this is these were heathen people. What? I thought these were Christians that went, or I say believers in God that went astray. Oh no, these are downright full committed heathen folk. I mean, they were into it, totally into to hedonism, and so. But Jonah had the opportunity, the job, whatever it was, the responsibility to go about and to preach a message. But Jonah was conflicted with the message that the Lord gave him to deliver. And here's the reason why he was conflicted. In the first part of this, which we'll read a little bit, the first part of the story in chapter 1, is the Lord comes to Jonah and says, go into Nineveh and preach them that they're going to die as a result of their sins. And the problem is this. Number one is that Jonah, God asked him to go to a place he didn't want to go. Jonah hated the Ninevites. How would you feel if God asked you to go to a place and goes, yeah, 40 days, all you folks are going to die and you want them dead anyway? That's a conflict. And he's also, he says, why would I they need to repent? I want them dead. And I want to be very, very direct with you. There's some people that we don't like to admit, but there's some people we just don't like. Now, maybe you say, I don't want them dead. I just don't want them in my life ever again. Same thing. Same spirit. Oh, I don't want anything bad to happen. I just never want to see them again. Really? Yeah. He was going to speak. But here's the problem. He was required to give a message to people. He did hate it. But here's the third part. He realized he was going to speak under the power and the authority of God who sent him. So he's going to go there and preach under the authority of God. Yet, unless you repent, God's going to destroy you all. And there's something in this kind of a clue right here that he knew that the anointing and the power of God was on his life. And in the back of his mind, he says, what happens if they repent? What happens if they straighten up their life? And I want to tell you, there are people sitting in this room today, there are some people you don't want to repent because you'd like to see them burn in hell forever and ever and ever. Work with me, people, because I know that's true. See, this is a two-sided coin. You thought I was just going to talk about fasting. I'm going to talk about your attitude. Because you can fast until you are anorexic or look like Twiggy, and it's not going to help you. Help us, Jesus. Jonah made a choice to disobey God. It was predicated on the fact that he hated these folks, and so he believed the word but did not want to deliver the message. I want to tell you, unfortunately, some of us are sitting in this audience today. We believe the word of God, but we don't want to deliver the message because there may be consequences involved in that. Okay, break it down for me. I will. You're going to hear a word from God today about salvation and about how people can come to Jesus, and some of you do not believe it enough to tell somebody else. Ooh. He allowed his flesh to hinder his spirit. Because the word of God that rests in each one of you by the time you leave here today will be enough that if you approach any person through the unction of the Holy Spirit, they could find salvation and they could find forgiveness of their sins. But you know something? I found out there's some people you don't want to get saved. He rebelled against the truth of the word, thinking he could run away from the truth. Well, Jonah's final disobedience released the anointing. Final obedience released the anointing of the word and caused the people of Nineveh to believe. I'm going to skip over the other part of it. I'll refer to it in a moment. But we're in the second chapter. In the second chapter, after he's gone through a little joyride in the stomach of a big fish, he was surfing. He was stomach surfing in the belly of a big fish. Now, don't call it a whale. It's a big fish. Because if you look at the possibility of him being in a whale, it doesn't work. God created a fish just for Jonah. God's going to create a fish just for you. Yeah, you'll fit in just perfectly. You'll have the ride of your life when he's done with you. And you'll want to go where he took. Well, anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. When we believe the word of God, we will deliver it to the lives of people who need to change. That's when we truly believe the word of God. I want to define what it means to really believe in something. If you really believe in something, and it's totally a belief of yours, you cannot help but talk about it. Amen. But some of us are here, we still have the unbelief that's in us that keeps us from declaring what we truly believe that will bring salvation to people that we are with every single day. Hopefully by this end of this message, that will be removed. The word of God of the Lord will be believed by all who will receive its message. Now, let me paint the picture for you. First part of the story, Jonah doesn't go where he's supposed to go. Instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to Tarshish. And what a bad mistake that was. In the belly of the fish, he repents. The fish, you know, vomits him, regurgitates him, whichever word you want to choose, onto land, and then now he's ready to tell the story. Well, here we go. Here's what happens, is that he delivers the message, and the fasting was the result of them believing the word that Jonah preached to them. So he goes to the city they didn't want to go to. He says, yet 40 days, you're all going to be destroyed. And their response was, oh, no. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Somehow, they knew that they could get in touch with God or whoever Jonah was dealing with, and they'd have to, with their sincerity, somehow it would convince God that they were serious about doing the things that needed to be done. I wonder what sacrifice is necessary in you for you to convince even yourself that you're serious about making a change. Ever think about that? You say, I can't believe she did that. I didn't think in a million years she'd do that. People know when you're serious. Because there's certain things that normally you just wouldn't do, or certain things you wouldn't give up, or whatever it happens to be. The abandonment of certain things that we really like in order to get something that we really need is a very important thing. Well, fasting was a result of them believing the word, and fasting should be a response to what we believe the Lord wants us to do. You don't need to vote on this one, but I will put it before you. Are there things in your life that you know really need to change? And have you tried various means to get that underway? My question to you is, why haven't you allowed fasting to be employed to really activate the part of you that is resistant toward the things that really need to be done? Because fasting will tell your body you're serious. You know, it really will. But that's a very important thing. Well, going a little bit further, fasting is our way of bringing our soul into subjection to our spirit. The other thing about it is fasting will bring focus and clarity to what we've chosen to believe. Every belief is a choice. Amen. It's like, oh, I woke up this morning. I don't know what happened, but now I believe that I can fly. Really? Don't get a tall building. Try a chair. Just in case you got your wires crossed. Because your belief may not be resting in reality, and it's a little, we can fix a broken femur, but all of you, I don't think we, all the king's horses, king's, you know, you, it's a Humpty Dumpty syndrome, okay? Fasting changed God's heart toward Nineveh. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, and this is something else. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. I know that messes with you. The question is, can God change his mind? He's God. Hello? And especially when he changes his mind for your good, don't argue with it. This is a good thing. Ever have your parents tell you they were going to do a particular thing? They said, well, you know, I'm thinking about that's a little bit harsh. I won't do that. Yes! You're so excited. The same love that your parents had for you at that particular point where they show compassion on you, multiply that by 10 million and you'll realize how much God loves you. And that's an amazing thing about this story is that they're thinking, well, the shock value here is that God really loves them. Well, God took note of the change in the actions of turning away from evil. There are certain things, that, unfortunately, that in our life become habits, and habits are hard to break. Anybody say amen on that? Habits are hard to break? Some habits you've been working on, you'll be working on until Jesus comes. Thank God you're going to heaven and you don't have to worry about that. But the deal is that fasting will raise your consciousness of the things in our life that are not pleasing to the Lord. Is that okay? We explore that for a few moments. Fasting will lead us to repentance and turning away from the things that are not pleasing to God. Now, let me tell you what it means to repent. Repent doesn't mean I'll try. Well, I thought it's just like a trial thing, and if it doesn't work, well, no harm, no foul. No. Repenting is to see the repulsion of where it really came from and allowing the Holy Spirit to empower you to no longer do that again. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is my favorite scripture, always will be. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted but above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you will be able to endure it. Which tells me there is a guarantee that goes along with true repentance that God will make a way of escape. The next time that comes upon your rector, he will find some way that for you to get out of it. Amen. So, what? Is that in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Write it down, read it, and believe it. Because if you fall back into the same temptation again, you know what happened? You weren't looking for the way of escape. You were looking for an excuse. I just had to have one. One more time. One more night. Fill in the blank. Well, you just don't know how. Don't give me the you don't know how thing. I got to take your opposition or your principle against what the Word of God says. There is, what does the Bible say? There is no temptation such that is common to man. What you're going through, somebody else went through the same thing you're going through. Somebody say amen. Amen. You say, well, yes, but you don't know. No, no. But God is faithful. The faithfulness and will not allow, word the word allow, you to be tempted beyond what you are able. In other words, God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be successful. But will with the temptation, just because he wants you to be successful, make a way of escape that you'll be able to endure it. Every time you're tempted to go back to what it was before, saying, God, oh, show me the escape. And I promise you, you will not have to, you'll never have to return to that thing that you hate so much ever, ever again. Somebody say amen, because that's the truth. But the reason why you're fasting right now is I'm fasting, you're fasting right now so you, that belief system will take over your life. Reading it will not get it done. Believing it will. Well, fasting is more than a method to get God to do what you want. Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 5. We're going to go through Isaiah for a few moments. Why have you fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we fasted and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you have not taken notice? Really? This is, they're talking out. He says, in fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. In other words, you can't focus really on fasting like you should, but that's what you do. All right, we're going to the next verse. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist with wickedness, and you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? That's the question. A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it, is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? An acceptable day to the Lord? Those are all questions. He says, all right, let's talk about your fast here. What's the focus? What's the reasoning? What's the impetus? Our motives for fasting will be revealed very quickly when we don't get the response we want in the time frame we were expecting. Whether it's 2 weeks we've been on a fast or 2 months or 2 years, there's an expectation after it's over with that something will have happened, or even during the process. And if it doesn't, something will happen inside of you. So, well, let's look at this. We must be careful, must carefully examine the motives and expectations when we fast. Our first priority should be to fast because Jesus said that we should. You'll note in the Bible it says, when Jesus says this, when you fast, not if you fast, or would you like to fast? When you fast, he gives a whole list of things that you should do. So evidently, Jesus is saying that this is a natural part of a believer's life. So we do it once a year. Oh, in January, Daniel fasts. We'll all look pitiful for 3 weeks and we'll emerge great. For the rest of it, oh, dear God, this is June. Good Lord, no. I mean, I got to have my smoothies, Slurpees, and everything else that's going on. Help us, Jesus. We should fast with a desire to be changed rather than our situation. Fasting should change you, and if it never changes your situation, that's okay. But it should change you and your perspective, and it will draw you closer to God. Here's a couple other things you need to put into the mix. When fasting does not change our behavior and response toward other people for the good, we're wasting our time. Amen. When you go through a fast and you, after the fast is over, you're still mean, it didn't work. Amen. I'm preaching right now. You're still just as crazy as you were before. Honey, it didn't work. Whatever it was that you did not work. Well, let's examine a little bit more. The devil will convince us that it's okay to fast out of protest. I'm going to fast until Jesus gets me out of debt. Can I make arrangements for your service? Because first of all, Jesus didn't put you in debt, okay? Some of that was because you were stupid. So don't try to make God fix things that you broke. Another little thought process here. The devil will try to cause us to make comparisons between ourselves and others that we may envy because God's grace on their lives. If you are fasting to get what she got, that ain't going to work. And some of us, we do it in a real subtle fashion. Oh, Lord, I just want you to bless me and just increase my borders and this type of thing. And in the back of your mind is you want a dress like she got. You want a house like they got. And, you know, and I'm just as spiritual as they are, so I'm going to fast and pray. And God, through my fast and pray, he going to put me to the head of the line. You are crazy. There's more. We must be aware of tactics that we may employ that we think will move the hand of God that are sincere. Do you know you can be sincerely wrong? I know some really great people, really sweet people, that are sincerely wrong. There's nothing malicious in their character, there's nothing malicious in their attitude, but they're wrong in their conclusion. Well, a couple other things before we finish this thing. Humility should be the thing that moves us to fast and brings us to the right alignment with the Spirit of God, which means we fully recognize that God is the only one who can intervene in our situation. Can I get a vote on that? Is God the only one who can do it? Raise your hand if you believe that. Wave it at me because I want to realize I got some believers in the house. That's okay. Okay. We are praying to act upon faith that was given to us by his word. That's our authority. We're choosing to release unbelief and disbelief in order for the will of God to come to pass. Those two words we've been talking about a lot here lately, I'm not really finished with them. We'll use them for a while. Unbelief is a bad thing, but disbelief is even worse. Because disbelief is even when you have evidence, you say, I don't believe that. I don't see how that can happen. Like you've seen everything in the whole world. Oh, there's no way that could ever happen in this situation. I just don't believe it. Really? Well, let's look at this. We are choosing to believe and to walk in the power of the will that will loose the bands of wickedness. Fasting prepares us to receive the miracles the Lord has in store. On top of that, fasting ensures our confidence as we declare victory in the name of Jesus. Let me say it again. In the name of
Jesus.
I got to say it one more time. In the name of
Jesus.
Because that's a declaration. He says, in my name, all these things are going to happen. Well, that authority comes forth, and Jesus will fortify our belief, and the song we sing around, no weapon formed against you will prosper. If you believe that, that is absolutely the truth, because that's what the Word of God says. Amen. People who are trying to, you know, kind of snipe you out and everything else, there are spiritual vigilantes against you, will not prosper. God will turn it back on them.
Amen.
And that's the authority that God is doing. Well, fasting will release compassion, and this is the part I love about this whole thing about fasting, and desire to share with others that are in need. Isaiah 58, verse 7. I love this. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry that you bring your house, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Leave that up there for a moment. As you share your bread with the hungry, I'm going to give you an assignment. When this fast is over, and within a week, I want you to find somebody that you know is hungry and feed them. What? It's not for them, it's for you.
Amen.
There's something that God has got to release in us. It's called compassion. And some of us don't have any. But once we get the compassion of God and we do this particular thing, once that is released out of you, the fact that you can, and it doesn't matter, you know, got to tell you this story. It's really crazy, but it's real. There's this lady at this church we belong to several years. I'm going to try to disguise as much as I can. And the lady was, she was in need. And so my mother-in-law, she said, well, would you like to go to lunch with us? And so she said, oh, yeah, because she needed lunch, okay? But then when she found out, she says, well, we're going to go to KFC for lunch. And you know what she told her? She says, I'm tired of chicken. Well, now. Some of you would walk away from that situation and say, that's the last time I'm ever going to offer lunch to some ungrateful person who doesn't get away from your little fragile ego and find somebody else that likes chicken. Because we'll have one bad experience and all of a sudden everybody's bad. Everybody's ungrateful. Nobody wants, it's not about you, it's about them. Don't let compassion be shut off because there are some different people out there. I changed my word, I had a different word, I changed it. Our hearts can only be softened when we allow the Holy Spirit access to compassion that is released by the Spirit in us. And fasting will open our eyes to see that which we once were blind to by the lack of faith and unbelief. And one other thing I'll tell you about this. Fasting will release us from excusing ourselves from responding to the prompting of the Spirit to get involved. You don't have to vote on this one. I'm voting for you. Yes, you have. What have I done? You have disobeyed the Spirit of God when he told you to do something. You knew it was him, but you did. You, out of fear, out of lack of compassion, out of being in a hurry, I'll give you a whole bunch of reasons why you did it. You did not do what Jesus told you to do. All you get to say is amen. Because you did. But you don't have to live in that condemnation anymore because from this point on, you get to respond to Jesus. How about that? There's a second chance. Just like the people of Nineveh got a second chance from the Lord, God will give you a second chance for you to be obedient even when you're renegating against the truth. Well, let's go a little bit further this. Fasting will cause us to reclaim the things that were lost by our unbelief. Places in our life that were once desolate will thrive by the Spirit of God. What I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do is for your life. Now, I know Kaiser Permanente calls thrive, and you're supposed to be thriving. I hate it when they steal our stuff, and it's annoying. But Jesus wants you to thrive. Our hope in the Lord will be restored as we return to embrace the foundations of our spiritual heritage. But this one goes even further. We will reclaim our spiritual inheritance that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. What was the last thing Jesus did on the cross? He says he forgave somebody. But more than that, he said something. He says, today, you can be with me in paradise. Wow. It doesn't get any greater than that. Are you willing to invite people into the relationship that you have with Jesus that will cause them to have something that will be eternal in the heavens? When we fast, our desire is to be a person that facilitates in bringing people into the presence of God. Well, this last will be, I'll get through rather quickly. We must know we are fasting for the right reason. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and they got a lot of scripture here. I'll read it real quickly. Verse 15 through 18, 20 through 30. Now Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. And David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house rose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Oh, that's interesting. And then, verse 18, yeah. And then on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. I want to look to the reality. What happens when you fast and you don't get what you really wanted? What's going to be your response? Now, I realize this situation with David was a pretty dire situation. I mean, basically, he has an affair with this lady, and she gets pregnant, and then she kills his husband, and she marries him, and the child comes forth, and the child gets sick, and the child dies. You say, sounds like a soap opera. But you know what? We create our own soap operas. Amen. All of us do. But he's doing the right thing. He's fasting. He's praying. But the child died. Take me to the last few verses. You know, I build a principle for you. So David rose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. My question to you is, are you willing to worship when you don't get what you want? Amen. Are you going to stop worshiping until you get what you want? God does not react to your protest. So we'll get to the next little piece here. And he worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when they rested, he set food before him, and he ate. And then the servant said to him, what is that you have done? You fasted and you wept for the child and while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and you ate food. We don't get it. Get on to the next place here. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and I wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will grant and whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back? I shall go to him. He shall not return to me. I want to get solemnly in your spirit right now. When you fast and you don't get what you want, he's still worthy to be praised. He's still worthy of all of your worship. As the worship team comes back up here, I want to tell you these last few closing things, because this is going to save your life. Fasting does not guarantee you'll get what you want. No, it doesn't. It should draw us closer to the Lord, and we understand his will for us. Our belief in him should be strengthened when we understand that what he wants for us is the best. God always wants the best for you. Always wants. Do you believe that he always wants the best for you? Even when you don't get what you want, even when your heart is still breaking, God still wants the best for you. Well, what does that mean? It means that David understood that God's grace is not something that we should presume upon. And if you're fasting presumptively, plan on being disappointed. But if you're fasting in faith and believing that the word of God is still righteous and alive in you, great things will happen. The foundation of our belief rests upon the fact that Jesus can do and work miracles. Our fasting should be an affirmation of our confidence in him, and our belief should never be held hostage to us getting what we desire over what God knows is best. Amen. Boy, that works, doesn't it? When we fast, our desire should be to know, love, and serve the Lord better. Amen. Which means this, our confession of faith in Jesus will increase when we put our trust in his word. We will always benefit from fasting when we focus on the things beyond ourselves. And hold on to this last one. This is one for you. Fasting will make us conscious of his presence, which is what we should desire above everything else. My question to you is, are you willing to worship after you didn't get what you want? Are you willing to put your hands in the air and say, God, I trust you, even though my heart's breaking? The genuine thing I believe that God wants to do with us today before we leave this building is I believe there's two categories of people in here today. First of all, people who've never really surrendered their life to Jesus. And today, I'm going to tell you right now, is the day to do it. Because from the smorgasbord of things we've talked about, all the way from you find this prophet that's supposed to speak to some folks he didn't really like. And then after he obeys God, he's really upset because God forgives him. That's another story. But the matter of fact is he preached the message was received, and people got to know the Lord. Everyone bow your heads with me. Jesus, we've got another week of fasting to do. We have a chance to come out on Wednesday night and to pray and believe. But Lord, rather than just go into the routine of what we set up, Lord, there are people in this room today that need to do business with you and need to get their soul aligned with a real purpose and a real reason why they would fast. Lord, we understand we can't manipulate you, but there's a sincerity behind our motives that somehow we need to put before you. That if nothing else, Lord God, you're worthy to be praised. Whether we get what we want or not is not the issue. But we know we can go to a God that will always make the right decision and draw us close to you. You're all we want. You're all we need. Keep your heads bowed for a moment because I want to speak something prophetically to a couple of people here. This last week, you faced a situation in your life and it was heartbreaking. It was heart-wrenching for you. And you tried to bargain with God, said, God, if you'll fix this, I'll do this, the particular thing. And you know what? You broke your deal because it didn't turn out the way you thought it would and you just kind of felt like God didn't care. I want to tell you right now, God still loves you. Do not put God in a situation or a circumstance where you feel like you can barter or you can do that type of thing. That's not how it works. Fasting will cause you to believe God when the sun is shining, believe God when it's raining. And I want to speak to people here today that have been disillusioned, that through your walk, your Christian walk or the Christian walk of other people, that you feel like, well, if that's really where Christians are, I don't really know if I can believe in a God like that. I'm addressing you right now. In the name of Jesus, I want to break all the disbelief off of you to the place, to filter through that scripture I told you that when people didn't succeed in that temptation, it's because they didn't see the way of escape. I'm praying that God will place within you that you don't have to be disillusioned or disappointed any longer, that you'll be able to see the way of escape, that you'll be able to endure whatever temptations come your way. So Jesus, I pray over people here today that first of all will make their first confession to know Jesus. And then on the second level of folks, of people who today need to renew their relationship with you, that they know today that they need to have their faith fortified by the Holy Spirit, that they without shame, without guilt, without fear, would stand to their feet, come down these aisles and receive prayer, that they would be able to endure the days ahead. So Lord, I cast off all doubt, all fear, all embarrassment, that people will respond today to have their spirit and their life renewed. Do not let embarrassment keep you from connecting with Jesus. Do not let fear of what people are thinking keep you in your seat. And that's all I'm going to say. Because there's three women here today, they're just kind of struggling. They're like, well, people, don't worry about what they think. Always adhere to what God knows, that God loves you. He's here for you. Your life can change today in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we leave this place, Lord, it's with the authority of knowing that you're here for us all the time. Lord, you can deal with our disappointments, with all the failures that we've had in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we leave here a more compassionate, more knowledgeable people that desires you more than anything else. Lord, let your peace and your compassion go with each and every one of us. I thank you for this. I praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd love to see you here on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in the foyer. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.